Know Thyself is dedicated to the exploration of the most rewarding task an individual can ever embark on, the journey to find oneself. This is the Know Thyself podcast.
All right, cool. We're rolling. Let me just move a couple things over here. I love the back, the sound in the background. I think we should definitely keep it. But before we get started, yeah, we should definitely disclose that we are in different places yet again, and you happen to be in a great place.
Right by the sea, right by Lady Ocean herself, absolutely. You know what? This is actually really exciting. Welcome to the Know Thyself podcast. Oh, look at that. I did the intro.
There you go.
I'm with the glorious Eduardo. You gotta keep going, though. And then you...
Wow. Hello.
You did great. You did great as filling in on that spot. You really held up that role of the hello. That was better. I don't know if I can ever make that mark. That was good.
Oh. And who
I'm
are
Daniel.
You? There you go. Cool, man. I think we should just have it switched up like this. The glorious is pretty great because now I don't know how I could not say that if I ever do the intro and introduce you. I gotta follow it up with something. You know, the marvelous, mm-hmm. the glorious. We'll continue it on.
Absolutely. And forward. You know, extend that to the listener too, because that's the exact same introduction that we are giving each and every one of them as they, you know, take a listen and join in on these conversations. So
well said, man. But cool, man. Well, I think, you know, I like the I like having the opportunity not only with connect with you while you are in California right now, but I know that one of the things we're going to be talking about today with regards to vibrational code kind of goes along the lines of what you just said about the listener. You know, I think it's always great that we talk about, you know, where we're coming from and, you know, what we really try to convey through these conversations and what's really hidden underneath. And so I know that last time we talked and we were sort of debriefing, we talked about this vibrational code and like sort of the mirror of the soul related to the tarot. And that makes me really happy to talk about just because I think we definitely got to go back to that, you know, with everything we've spoken about in regards to the conversations we have and how we have them nowadays. So
yeah, absolutely, man. And you know, as we make our way back to the tarot and we continue that journey of the fool, and we continue that exploration, it is something that we kind of like contemplate on that journey of, you know, really like, how do we correspond all this information together? And that's what's so unique about the esoteric mm-hmm. and the occult. It's a binding. It pulls all subjects together. So everything gets unified. It's not solo. It's not singular. Astrology, alchemy, tarot, numerology, mathematics, science, all one giant subject, right? That's unified under these principles that we discuss and we look into. And as we explore more archetypal principles, we have a deeper code and a stronger base to come from. Like our foundation is deeper, our tribe is stronger. And so as we've gone through these three seasons of conversation, one of the things that you and I've discussed is like, hey, the language has been able to mature because the listener from day one, regardless of what their spiritual background was, whether it was, you know, this ultimate yogi, alchemist, whatever it, you know, whatever their practice was, or if this was their newest connection to these studies, we came in together, and by all of the conversations that you and I have conducted, we've been able to formulate a language. So even if there was a concept that they explored in another subject, we've been able to like, we began to identify more these experiences so we could have this common dialogue between multiple different disciples of the one craft, which is the evolution of the universal consciousness. You know, it doesn't matter what you call it. It doesn't matter what the rituals are. As long as it's developing truth, love, and wisdom and character, well, you know, the ends always justify the means, and that's what we're all looking for. And so with the tarot, and as we're kind of beginning to connect back into the tarot, it's really exciting to come back in with just the capacity of the language that we can have conversations with in reflection to like the first season, because we were just like opening up what alchemy was. We were like identifying what the planetary archetypes were. Well, now we're getting to watch the dance, and we're like talking about the dance as it's dancing, as we're all dancing in the dance. And so it's a really fun experience. And that's why this, you know, season is all about application and all about like, you know, how do we start to program the code better? And I think that that's exactly what you and I wanted to have a conversation in today. The application nature. And, you know, also one of the big things I was excited to talk to you about, because I always feel like you have a pulse with this, is the grand pulse of like how information is presented and at what time information is presented and how it gets presented, especially in regards to the esoteric. And I think it's a really important thing if all of the individuals that listen to this podcast are obviously like students and seekers. And so they're like, their feed is tapped into this information. One of the big things that we kind of want to talk about too, as we're going about the tarot, because it's all about these bigger archetypal patterns, is even watch the archetypal patterns of what information is being like represented to the community of consciousness. You know, like notice the pattern in videos on discernment for like a month and a half, all of these amazing YouTube, Rumble, like, what do you call them? Like content creators were making stuff on spiritual discernment. And then they're making things about the false light. And don't rush to judgment of like, oh, you're just making a video on the false light because maybe the alchemist made a video on the false light or the mind and magic made a video on the false light. No, listen to all of them because you're actually seeing how the consciousness is pulsating and what it's trying to get your attention to. And so even noticing bigger patterns and content, like even our own podcast, when a subject comes out that we release, notice it in the grander pattern of the other podcasts that are doing these kind of conversations. Why is there a connection? Even if they're like, the title's not the same, the subject matter is. Because again, we're picking up archetypal patterns that are not only like set into nature, like the tarot cards, but also what's unfolding right in front of our faces in the moment, which is where God is operating. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, absolutely, man. You know, one thing I want to go back to what you said in regards to the archetypal code, or just even understanding the same language and calling it what it is, going back to the center source, and that being universal consciousness, just where you are in the ocean. You can have all kinds of micro dissections of your philosophy, what you feel introspectively, what you might feel about your moral guidance. But it's so funny how things that are set in stone, like the tide or the ocean, everyone sort of agrees on it. You know, I know not everyone's a huge fan of getting wet or being in the sand, but for the most part, the meditative state that the ocean puts you on kind of brings you to that center and that common language that you're talking about. So I like that where you are, it feels very appropriate. That's one in regards to your question, if that makes sense. And you always jazz me up because I do think that even after what, 3-4 years of building this podcast with you, I still just get just as excited to talk about these topics because they're somewhere so they're somewhere deep inside of us, but there's also such clarity when you start to sort of understand why these principles and philosophies, and even in the case of the tarot, have made their way into human existence and have been studied by so many and also elaborated, or have been not elaborated, but have been developed further from when they first came about, you know, like the tarot since the Renaissance period, you're still getting a lot of people who have not only an active interest in it, but also are curious enough to take that path. And there's got to be a reason for that. And so when you say that, if you pay attention to all the other individuals who are on the same subjects that way, maybe we're talking about, or maybe are opening up about, that is a great point, which is paying attention to the fact that why is there this conversation happening in all realms or in all
sure.
places all at once? And that makes me, you know, just not only excited, but again, I remember there was someone who asked me about my thoughts on Carl Jung and doing shadow work. And they really wanted to take that approach, but I wanted to talk about all things concerning not just the self, but also the like just all of us as a whole operating in this five sense reality, and why we even are drawn to these principles or these individuals in philosophy, whether it's modern philosophy or ancient philosophy. And so when you talk about the tarot, when you talk about this common language, it sort of validates the fact that people are realizing it's not just one topic that we're interested in. It's all the topics that lead us to discovering not necessarily every little detail about ourselves, but coming to terms about those things, you know, figuring out, why am I feeling, you know, an absence of light, and why am I drawn to darkness, or why am I in darkness and I'm reaching for light, but I can't find it. And I think that's not only part of the journey, but when you start to really discover these things, again, back to the theme here with archetypal code, other things just sort of become available to you. And so when you said that you're a fan of what I like to do, and Daniel's always said this, and I'll say this like you're not in the room, but Daniel will always say, I'm such a fan of how you apply these principles to your life, and I just don't have another option. You know, there's things that are going to happen that are very dark, that are very unpredictable, that are very difficult to deal with, but all this information that I gathered and all this information I'm basically just a fan of, that's there for a reason to aid us in such, you know, unfathomable, you know, in unpredictable situations that life presents itself to us. And so whether it's the tarot or whether it is like a book that you just opened the first page to, in regards to some long journey of this hero going into this fantastical like story, whether it's Lord of the Rings or, you know, anything of that matter, you know, you're on the right path because you're trying to do more with what has been presented to you in the physical reality, but also what the unconscious is trying to get you to discover about maybe the world or about yourself in a more rational but unrational fashion at the same time.
Well, for sure. No, and you said it between the reaching for the light and the darkness, like, you know, because it's a blending. Everything blends. That's what we're looking to do here, blending the shadow with the act of consciousness. Like, everything blends, and that's why water wins. That's why the last sign of the zodiac is water. That's why you were birthed through water. That's why your birth and the birth of a ship, and the ship has a birth certificate just like you do, because you came from water. Everything goes to water and returns from water. Water is going to ultimately win. You know, like, that. There's a reason why we spoke about that. It's not rock, paper, scissors, spit, because you would choose spit and you would win every time. Every time you could just spit and be like, I win, because water's going to win. You know, like, it was so funny. We've had these actually this week, I've had this conversation a lot. It came up in the zeitgeist of the moment with connections with like astrology charts and like alchemical conversations. But like, next time you're in the grocery store, walk to the water aisle when all the water's in the plastic and just laugh at the plastic and be like, oh, you think you've got me contained? You think you have me contained? Like, it's only a matter of time. Like, within time, water will win everything. And the water of the tarot blends together, because the tarot is the water component of the esoteric sciences. You know, it's the silver, it's the intuitive, it's the language that's beyond words, it's the reflection, it's the reflection. That's why every major arcana is looking back at you, because you're looking at yourself. It shows us. And why the tarot is so familiar is because the tarot belongs to the womb, which is the 12th house. So it's the birth that you come into, and it's where you're going to die. Like, the 12th house of the zodiac represents like where your pineal gland comes through and where it leaves, right? So it's the beginning and the end, which is the 12th house, which is Pisces. But this is, when you look at your 12th house in your natal chart, you look at not only how you're going to spend the latter years of your life and your spiritual development and things of other chords, like the 12th house is endless. It also speaks about your gestation period. 12th house connection with tarot is because the tarot is the slideshow that the archetype of God was showing you when you were in the womb. When the womb was like wishing water and it was saying like, don't forget, don't forget. It was going 78 from 1 to 78 of the tarot card. It was like literally just showing you. This is why you're so connected to it, because it's like, it's not outside of you. It's within you. It's your code. It's how you operate the code. And the thing about the tarot is it's a code of archetypal value. So you have like chemical codes, right, which is taste and smell, right? They change the system that it gets inputted in and it gives a reaction, but these are archetypal. So these codes are just as important, but they're tied to the fabric of human history and consciousness in general. It's not even humans. It's all of living consciousness and non-living consciousness, or what we perceive as non-living consciousness, because everything is alive, right? Everything is living. But this is what we kind of see. Tarot is the slideshow that God showed you right before. It was like, don't forget. And you're like, forget what? And then the next moment you noticed you took your first breath and you were a baby. And you forgot it all. You forgot what the womb was telling you. Right. The thing, it was just like, don't forget this. It was the tarot. So when you come back to the tarot, you get connected to it. It's a homecoming. You know what I mean? It should be like your pep rally. It's like, oh, this is the archetypal patterns I need to establish to develop my soul, to develop my character, so I can be the person that I need to be to not only serve the universe, but myself, because it's one and the same. You know, I and I, as we kind of make through this. And so, like, you and me and you spoke about this a lot through this whole practice. And that's what we've kind of wanted to, like, look at this conversation of. We've spoke about this. How many times have you spoke about how all of these archetypal cards up to this point, you're looking in the eyes of them, but they're not only like you're looking in their eyes, and then they're looking back into your eyes. When we think about these cards that came before the chariot, right? All these major arcana tarot cards. Remember how we've always spoken about, like, you're looking into their eyes, but then they're looking into your eyes. And it's like, it's almost finding that component of the archetype within you. And it's like this, like, unique kind of awareness of a new vibration. Does that make sense? You know, like, in connection?
Absolutely. You know, again, talking to you about, you know, ancient mysteries has always been not something that's fascinating to me, but also, it becomes very validated when you find these sort of language of pictures, you know, that are able to speak in the subconscious. And, you know, we've talked about the history multiple times, whether it's like in Islamic cultures or like the Egyptian cultures that had these symbols that were speaking to the soul. And so I love what you said about right before you took your first breath. It's like, hey, remember. And you're like, remember what? Because it's true. As soon as you see these images, when you're ready to receive the image, it sort of speaks to you in a way you can't really describe, you know? And I think that that's something that we always kind of move past very easily with all the stimulation that's always around us. And so when we took a turn into the tarot away from, say, like when we were breaking down the zodiac, you know, it kind of clicked where I realized, okay, there's just another form of understanding, you know, not only what these symbols and images represent, but also how they can aid you in this like never ending quest for your soul and trying to find the language of the soul. Because I think that, you know, we talk about numbers, obviously, when we bring up the tarot. And I think it's something that we need to sort of explain, that when you bring up these numbers, you know, numbers were the language, in my opinion, or the first language in the universe, and how the fabric of the universe is made. And then we started putting images to what we were feeling, and then words start coming together. And so we have all these complex ways of describing what is going around us and what our eyes are seeing, but what goes on within, what these feelings are, what these, you know, tumultuous like periods of life mm-hmm. that you go through and how to handle them are always so complex, but there's sort of these clues left behind by those who, as they were coming to the end of their physical journey, were able to leave behind for you to sort of tap into maybe a little quicker and maybe enable you to figure out what they're really representing from within, so you can help the world from without, or what's out on the outside. And so I think it's important that we keep talking about this, you know. On a complete side note, again, not like you're not here, but Daniel and I were moving into the next card of the tarot, and Daniel said, you know, we need to really just revisit these conversations, you know, like this is not just heavy stuff, but it's like, why are we bringing this up? If you've listened to this series for the last two or three or the whole time in our existence of these years, you'll realize, you know, we're not just covering a vast amount of information, but we're also trying to, you know, incorporate the things we learn along the way to the things that are not just older than us, but are also there for the taking right now and open to conversation like this. And so I thought that was a great idea that we bring this up again. I like how you talk about how this is like Mirror of the Soul part two. So I know there's a Mirror of the Soul out there if you want to listen to that first episode, but it's so much more exciting to be able to kind of revamp or reopen this conversation, I should say, with you in regards to its importance, but why?
Oh, absolutely. At the same time, and that's the thing. We can never not have enough conversations about any of these subjects. Like, you and I can literally talk about just the first book, Dante's Inferno, not even, you know, Paradosa, like not even the other three books, not even the trilogy. We literally could probably extract information, experience, understanding, and correspondences with our own growth through that story for the end of time. Any other subject is like this. Like, everything is endless. It's death and rebirth, new octave of understanding, new octave of awareness. And so, like, conversations like this, when we're just like, hey, why don't we just, like, because we were trying to find our grounding point, because it's like, how many times did we start to do the Chariot episode? The most of all of them. And it's one of, like, and it's a card that you and I have had deep respect from since the very beginning. It was a card that we were very excited about talking about. The Chariot's the only thing. Like, the Chariot tapes might should be an episode, which should be like the 5, 6, or 7 episodes that we've tried to do with the Chariot of Ultimate Timelines, because it's been like a 4-month process. But the reason was because we had to come back together and have a conversation about the Tarot. It was like, no, you got to just reground into this mirror that you're about to tap into. You're just going to jump into the 7th card, which is really the 8th card. You're just going to like, just like do that. No, it's like you got to kind of set the table back up for this conversation and really present the moment of more correspondences. Because one of the things that's, I think, really amazing about this experience of these last 3 years is to think about, and it's all of us are included in this. This is me, I, right? It's me, you, and the listener. If we think about what this whole thing has been about, is to get you to learn that it's all the same language. And as you learn about astrology, you learn about alchemy. You're like, oh, what's the stage of calcination about? The fire stage. Well, if you know the three archetypes of the zodiac, you could kind of guess what would be the Aries, Leo, Sagittarius blend of a stage of transformation. You know what I mean? So like everything's built into each other. And so always coming back to correspondences, because it's data points that's going to get you online. It's the data points, because you get turned online and then you get connected online and you get connected to these things, these patterns, and then you can actually influence the system, but it's all a giant pattern. But there's a network that's happening within us. And like, when we do this, we become online. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I know we haven't even like really scratched the surface with even the Kabbalah, you know, and there's so much about that in itself that we can, you know, incorporate into what we're talking about here. And when you talk about these data points that we get to connect to, you know, I think about, you said the listener a few times, but I do think about the people who reach out to us. No one ever reaches out to us and says, hey, you know, this is great entertainment, thanks, keep going. Everyone just thanks us. Hey, thank you so much. This has really helped me out in my journey. No one says, hey, if it wasn't for you, I would be nowhere either. So I feel like everybody out there, and this is a salute to every listener out there, is doing what they need to do to connect to those data points. And they're absorbing as much as they can in order to not only be a better version of themselves, but to also aid the community that they're in. And that to me is like why I do this, is not that I have a voice that is going to tell you how it is, but more so I'm inviting you to a conversation with a person that I truly admire and love as a friend, that helps me, you know, really not just rediscover what these principles might be, but how to use them to connect to those data points you're talking about. So it does make sense. You know what I mean? And again, I know we were about to jump into the Chariot, and I've read the Chariot so many different times and tried to, you know, look at other resources to see how I can let it sink in, how I can let it sort of simmer for a bit, if you will, and see where it touches. you know, parts of the unconscious for me that make me go, okay, I know how I'm going to present this. And then when we would start recording, and you're absolutely right, we should maybe release them as bonuses. I don't know. But we have like at least three recordings that are,
you're you know, gentlemen. Well, I think there's like five of them. I think there's five of them. But no, but honestly, seriously,
but
on the
they're,
real.
They're good though.
On the real.
I know that
It's honestly because of this, and this is a great alchemical lesson, and this is very humble. One of the things that you and I have seen with this component of our conversations that have been conducted together, right? Because it's through love and it's just through truth. And it's true, man. All we want to be is like, we just try to be the gateway connection even to more esoteric resources. Like, we want to get you connected. Like,
right.
Again, this information is not ours. It's working through us. It's just like speaking through us. But we're here just to be a network to like finding what maybe synchronizes with you, or if you're kind of like you, Eduardo, and myself, where you kind of like a unification of all of them. Like, we'll talk about Wicca, we'll talk about Druidism, we'll talk about alchemy, astrology. Like, we just want to be this like introduction and truly like the gateway drug. Like, if the New World Order was making a DARE commercial, it'd be about us. It was like, don't you listen to that, know that self, and get you all thinking for yourself and just knowing that you're the most special thing in the universe, because you are. You are a walking and dazzling star. You are it, and it is you. And
absolutely,
the greatest part about the whole thing about the Truman Show is you're the star, and you're also the character that formulates and produces the other stars. You know, like, we're all Truman and not Truman, and that's what's like so fascinating. And that's what the Tarot teaches you.
Right.
It's archetypal experiences. It's these bigger patterns and these bigger cycles. And what I was saying about the Chariot card, and this is, and I can only speak for myself, right? I don't ever can speak for you, because actually you brought this up in the beginning. If I could get a WWED bracelet, a What Would Eduardo Do bracelet? Oh my gosh, dude. I definitely know like my socks would be folded faster and like my life would be put together more than it is. But like, I also know that I live into this case. I do like surrender to experience. My north node is Pisces. It's like flow, 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 right? But there's a reason why. Remember that night? It's so funny, and I'm speaking about it now in California. The night after your wedding, there's a reason why I had your socks on that night, because your socks were like my guiding survival point in that. It was like, what would Eddie do? Like, take the right steps, and I did. And if you're a member of the memberships, you can read about the Eduardo story after his wedding. Best night of my life. Best night of my life. And like, you listen to it and you're like, that was the best night of your life. But now that I think on it, room reflection in California, back near the beach, best night of my life. But what I was saying about the Chariot card,
that was a great time.
And this is a not you, it's a me situation. I have, dude, if there has ever been an arena to learn about what your word can say and what you create from your word in the most beautiful way possible, when people are like, hey, thank you so much for telling me about this resource, or thank you so much for telling me about alchemy and astrology, I explored it and it's doing great for me, that's the greatest thing. But dude, sometimes, like, you know, between you and I, because like, it's such a funny thing, because it's such an intimate conversation between you and me, right? Because like, we have a connection that's like beyond words. It's like this life and the next. And it's like something that's so sacred. So we talk about stuff and we get excited about stuff. There's a reason why the Chariot's been the biggest challenge for us, is because like, I say stuff sometimes on this podcast that like, I don't have the follow through to do, and I haven't planned it out. Certain things I have, but certain things we haven't. You know what I mean? And that's why this is resonating with us like this. It's showing, the archetype is showing ourselves in the inversion, but it's not so much you, because you actually always come to what's the calling. And it's not, and I'm not saying that like, oh, I've completely let it down. But what I'm saying is like, the ideas of us like being like, hey, you know, let's make an event that we all come together, you know, let's do this and let's do that. Like, does that make sense why the Chariot card of construction and finishing things? But the thing is it's also a flow state, and it's a Cancer thing, because it's just like, no, like, it's the conversations that are doing this. Like, maybe you tried to put the ceiling on before you were supposed to, and you're just learning it. And you're learning to do that. Does that, and it's not a bypassing, it's more of a fluid application because there's no way to go back in time at this point. So then you start to approach it of like, okay, maybe I needed to learn more. So you become more active in learning and you start to learn more of like what your role is and like, what's your, like, what do you feel in accordance to like what you can provide and when's you're going to be the best things that you can provide. So it's this interesting flow, Matt. It's, you know, so as we kind of go through this, I think on a personal one-on-one level, I know this is why the Chariot card has been such an interesting role for me. But in a lot of things in my life, you know, so it's one of the cool things about these experiences is because you look into the cards and they look back into you, they pull in archetypal, right, you know, synchronicities of letting you know where you're not strong at, like where you're not the spiritual sovereign you need to be, or where you need to live to your word. Which is it. You speak about your word, live to your word. You know what I mean? And that's been a big thing of like, oh, like, yeah, you're very excited in moments, but are you going to follow through? And it's just like, well, do you want to follow through? Yes. Are you going to remember to follow through? Maybe not. So then that's not results based there. If you don't remember to follow through, even if you had the best intentions to follow through, you didn't. So you validated your word. You spoke against your higher self, which is like, you know, the word is God and God is the word. And so on a personal, just, you know, connection of like why I think the Chariot has been so interesting is because like we're still in such a unique organic position of like, what is this? Because we didn't plan for anything. All it was just like, hey, we're both not working because everybody's playing Halloween, you know, 365 and everybody's covering up. So it was just like, let's just like hang out and talk together. And we did. And it was just so happened that like, you remember how like blown away we were when we had 100 listeners, like 100 people have listened to your podcast. We were blown away. We were like, who are these people? You know what I mean? It was, and we were so excited. Yeah. We're like, I bet they would all be our best friends. And they probably still are. Like we're all probably should have a high five. And to be completely honest, I think the high five will come naturally. If you ever like connect to Eduardo or myself and you just go to do a high five in a unique combination, I can give my word, and Eduardo's more suave than I am. So I will say that he will definitely pull off the equilibrium of that. But does that make sense?
No, dude. I mean, yeah. And again, and thank you for always trying to flatter me, man. But I think one thing you just hit on that I thought was very kind and very humble of you to say is that I don't know if I was understanding you correctly. So I'm just going to, you know, go with what I have interpreted from what you said. But I do think that there are these layers before we present this information to our listeners that we must sort of uncover before we just speak on how powerful this is, you know, because you can do a lot of research, like I was saying prior to, and then you can allow for what resonates to be the conversational starter with a friend like yourself and have the kind of ball rolling. But this is getting more specific as we go. And I think that you're trying in a good way to honor that rather than sort of, and we never have sat and just winged an episode. We always debrief, but one of the things at the base level of how I go about this information is I do make it sort of objective, or I make it as an observation of what's happening in my life or what would be happening in my life given a certain timeline. So I can only go as far back. I'm 36, so I can only go as far back as 36 prior and then sort of find relatable experiences that have led me to make either good or bad decisions that have ultimately harmed me or have done something beneficial for me. And a lot of these archetypal stories or even these sort of revealing images sort of have a pattern that you can pick apart and say, oh, I feel like I'm in this stage right now, or I feel like I can relate to that stage right now. Or maybe it has nothing to do with you, the person. That's how I felt with the high priestess, but there's something very deep here. And the high priestess really took me to a place, for instance, of just very intense information.
Well,
you know what I mean?
The high priestess is, I would say, if I was going to give a theme for this experience of the tarot cards between you and I would say the high priestess has actually been the theme of these conversations and our experience with these archetypes this time around. Because it was, again, it was like when we started this process, it was learning and like expressing. But as we get deeper into these archetypes and we know more of the language of how the universe speaks through, like we said, numbers, astrology, Kabbalah, alchemy, the chakras, and we see the patterns and the cycles, this learning becomes a ritual. And so at this point, when it comes to these conversations where it was so calculated in the beginnings, it can't be anymore. Because the learning happens and then this ritual happens that almost is like an initiation into the sign of like the universe being like, okay, like this is what you read. This is what you contemplated on. Well, like this is what we're speaking through this conversation. And it's like this whole process. And so we kind of have to sit with it. And it's just, it's an interesting thing because we know when we're rushing it. Like I call poser so fast on myself. I'm like, poser. This is a poser. Like, I'm like, don't, this isn't good. And I'm like, why are we doing this tonight? And then we're like, talk, and we just have a conversation and we maybe plan it. It's not like this happens very often, but with this card, it did. But again, it's this unique thing of like, well, where's the block in the speaker's life? Everything, you know, all roads will lead back to Rome. And so it's interesting of like what comes off so easily and then what comes off through distillation. And that's what the Chariot card will be. And it's not even just the component of getting stuff done for myself and the process. It's also looking back at what has been accomplished, because that's not something also that I see with the Chariot. Is it's like I don't look back on the roofs that have tops on them. It's always like, what are you doing right now in the moment? And it's just like there's no like validation of like, oh, what have you created in the past? What have you done? What else have you done before this, before you were literally holding your, you know, your pop filter by the handle so your boot doesn't hit you in the face as you're talking through the microphone on this beach house view, you know? But, you know.
Absolutely, man. But I have to give you a compliment, though, about that. That's like your authentic self, though. I know that you sometimes want to take apart your decision-making And you're right. Like, I guess for me, the Chariot, as we move into the conversation of the Chariot for the next time, where I can relate to it is I constantly want to leave the city of noise and take that Chariot and take both sides in the blends of my understanding of the world and go full speed ahead. And I feel like you, as you talk about, you're like, well, what did I create? Or what was something that I have done? You've created a lot of things, man. But more importantly, you've given people, you know, the ability to listen with clarity to such complex and such, and you know, not only deep levels of information, but they're relatable by like your kind way of sort of expressing them. Because I think a lot of this information, when it gets expressed in such a direct way that it's more of a, what's the right word I want to say? Just sort of a more harsh presentation, I guess, or more matter of fact, which turns a lot of ears off. And when the ears are turned off and they're not really, you know, listening with the heart, that disconnection, you know, it doesn't matter how fascinating the information is, that disconnection isn't going to allow for the real, you know, the real richness of what's beneath it all to reach the person who's vulnerable enough to want to listen. I think you help individuals, including your students when you were a teacher, to get to that point of being not only heard, but wanting to hear you. And I think that's a great gift that you have, man. But that's something on the side. But the other thing I was going to say is when you talk about the poser thing, I love that because you're authentic. You know, I think you're authentic about what this information is. You know, I do sometimes contemplate that if this information was so occulted and so hidden from the masses, you know, if there could only be a way to go into the past and show people like, hey, there's this like two silly guys who talk about these really deep, deep levels of information that you would probably get killed for if you spoke about it in public or to a public audience. And not only that, but they're also operating from a platform that many people operate from, where they sell goods and services from, electronically speaking. And I do have that conflict now that we're on that subject sometimes with this podcast. The fact that we have to play the roles of social media and play the roles of like a link that goes to here, that goes to there. And we have to do it because it's the world we're living in, you know? And I guess there's no one to blame, but it does get a little conflicting because you're like, is this really how my authentic self wants to, you know, express this information, is by also utilizing like unauthentic platforms to then deliver it. But you have to. I'm just saying, I have that conflict at all times. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just like, oh, is this something I really want to push
absolutely.
For, you know?
But then you think about it. So it's like, because there's obviously a resistance. And obviously, even especially, and this is something that we're talk about with the chariot, which is like energy draining and protecting yourself from energy draining. That whole situation with the Instagram and the false accounts, that's like messaging people that aren't even listening of the podcast, right?
Oh my God.
Which is this energy vampire, has kept me away from even checking the, like, it's like, it's like the hardest thing for me to do to see social media now, which is terrible. Like, it's not terrible. It's not like, it's terrible. It's not like that. It's more of like, wait a second. There's no such thing as fear. Like, what are you afraid of? Like, you need to, if this is something that is like impeding on you, if there's restriction, then there needs to be extraction. So if you're restricted from something, if you're afraid to check out something, you need to extract something from this. And when we really think about the Instagram, okay, yeah, it's like this resistance of this, like, kind of like what we feel like is like the Matrix plug. But think about the connections we've had through the Instagram. It's been the cat's pajamas. It's been the cat's pajamas. You know what I mean? Like, it's been the best of the best. Everybody,
and everybody's
the best. Every natal chart I do, it's like high fives, best friends. Like, it's the network that we're creating. So, you know, we spoke about this before, and you know this. It's like, sometimes you have to wear, you know, the garb of the enemy to get into the castle. So you can drink the punch and get the free goodies and, like, get out with, like, connections and the network, you know? And again, it's just like, it's kind of part of that process. But I know what you mean. And you're better. And you, and I shouldn't say anything, because you're way better at the social media than I am. So me to be like, you know.
Oh, God, no. I just know that I can't give up that easily. Kind of what you just said. It's just like, and I'm not saying you gave up in any way. I'm saying more like, it is hard to, but I think you're absolutely right. Like, anytime that we've like gone into a discussion, or everyone is just warning us. So much love to all of you who actually message us. And go, hey, there's a fake account, and this is where they're asking. Nobody's like, hey, what are you doing to me? Or why are you taking advantage of me? Everyone's like, no, these guys, I don't think they're out for this. And I'm like, thank you. And we're not. And I try to respond to everyone.
You know what? Can I say,
too,
a big sovereign thing of just how conscious our community is? So if you were just like, is that community super conscious? We've really never had occurrences of people actually paying for the services of the fraudulent person. And people like requesting a refund for me. So nobody's actually been duped by this person, because they're just like, no, this doesn't feel right. Which is exactly what we were speaking about in past conversations, you know, feeling according to the thoughts that are coming in. And I mean, that's what everything is, man. It's all about, you know, connecting to this. And restriction before extraction was like the big theme that I had in this, is like, we feel restriction before there can be the grand extraction. And we felt restriction in this conversation because there needed to be a grand restriction of just tapping back into the silver key. It's like a different bell to ring. We got out of the golden key, which was astrology. We were ringing the bell of the labors of Hercules, which would make sense because Hercules is the story of the sun. It's connected to the story of Christ, which is the ultimate story of the sun. Now we're creating the lunar keys, the feminine mysteries, the intuitive component, the silver key of the grand equation, you know, mama. I mean, that's it.
Yeah.
Like, really, truly, like, that's how we probably first said it at first. Which is so important. And I'm looking at the sea right now, and I don't know if we even explain that, because sometimes we jump into stuff, like we're like, hit record, and then we start talking like everybody's been listening to the whole conversation. But I am looking out at the ocean for right now. And it's just such a beautiful thing. And so all of that healing energy that is going to the ocean, of course, I send it to you and your family, Eduardo, but I also send it to everybody that's listening tonight. And it's just the best.
Thanks, man.
You know, she's a special, special archetype, that healing mother.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. And I know we've had some pretty amazing moments out there. So I'm with you in spirit, man. And I'm always with you in spirit, and all the listeners too. Even though I don't know you, I feel like I know you. But I'm always in spirit, especially, you know, going back to why we do this and how we get to this point with even the conversation of the tarot. So I'm actually very thankful we haven't moved on to the chariot, because I feel like we had to get this, again, back to these levels. I don't know why I keep using the word levels, but we have to always like uncover certain, you know, levels in order to then see where we're both at and where we can have a common language and a conversation that doesn't lose anybody listening, but also has a disposition that people know we're coming from. That is, again, this common thread moving into the chariot. Because, again, I do listen to sometimes when I'm editing some of the recordings. I'm like, man, we were on a roll with the chariot. But then I like that when you've stopped, or if we've stopped, you know, it's not just for a reason, but it's an authentic expression coming from both of us that is, you know, not only important to consider, but, you know, not, or just as equally important to not disregard, you know. And I think that that's where we have to always be our authentic selves, especially when talking about something like
that. Trust the process. Trust the process. Trust in the process. Exactly. Like surrendering. Exactly. And that's such a big part of this, you know? And also I think too, because we spoke about the evolution of the podcast, like this conversation as well as like the zeitgeist of where even the spiritual studies are, you know, looking at what is that pulse? Like we spoken about in the beginning, like, hey, there's all these videos coming out. Well, we'll start speaking in accordance to that and like following like a spiritual discernment is a big conversation. We'll talk about spiritual discernment when angel numbers are a big conversation. Watch the pulse. It's a really fascinating thing. Watch that Aquarian nature of the network of what the universal consciousness is putting in front of us. And that's also something that we're seeing. And I just really, the zeitgeist conversations with you, man, the in the moment, in the now, where we find ourselves operating, you know, finding the cosmic classroom and the carnal carnival, like having those conversations. And again, it's one of the things that always were meant for these conversations too, was if you find yourself in a group, if you have friends that listen to this, these are meant to be the basis of the conversation so you can jump in really deep once you like come together, because you don't have to go over the foundations that like we speak about with even the tarot cards and things like that. You know, that was one of the things we spoke about once that was like our favorite thing about this is if you have somebody that you share the, like a podcast like this or other podcasts about, what's so cool about it is if you both listen to the same episode, you don't have to come in at that language and build it up. You can just jump in on a very deep level. Those are great experiences to find. Those moments that you can jump in really deep with somebody, if it's maybe a breakdown of a movie, you watch that movie together, come together. Consciousness speaks through you. It doesn't just speak through people that you cite in books. Like the truth comes through you. And that's something that it's your God-given right to accept. And that's a huge thing that we have to accept, that like I can know truth. You know, now I can waver from truth, absolutely. And like truth is its own pattern and I align myself to it. Yes, but you can know that constant, which is truth, because you can know love and you can know wisdom. They're from the same tree, you know? And so it's just so fun running through the trees with you, Eduardo.
Oh, thanks, man. Right back at you. You know, what you just said was not only very true and beautiful, but it's something I've noticed, and I've oftentimes been sort of not necessarily left out, right? But try to think of something like this. I'm laughing because it just did happen. But I was in a room with, I think it was three or four different ladies, and they were all talking about a book they had all read. And I don't remember the title of the book, but the book had something to do with tragedy and romance that had sort of a profound, you know, sentiment towards at the end of the book. But they didn't use that many words to agree that everyone was in agreement with basically truth that comes from a very deep place based on the characters that were written in this fictional book and the story that unfolded before their eyes. They weren't sitting there going, let's talk about the scene where the particular moment took place that shattered this person's life. They were just saying, oh my gosh, you know, wasn't it just so, they used words like beautiful and captivating, and everybody agreed, and there was just this elevated moment in the room that I was looking at going, I want to be where they are. I'm like, well, what can I say? I'm like, just trying to find macro words of like, I'm like, Kabbalah. I've seen what people would say, and they're looking at me, and I'm like, spiritual discernment. And they're like, what is wrong with you? You know, I really wasn't saying these things, but I just was trying to find anything I could to be like, I want to feel what you're feeling because I know I can. But you found a common language through this fictional book.
How did you drop into an all-ladies book club? Tell me this backstory. How did you get into this situation?
So
let's roll it back. Roll it back. How did you get into this situation?
We'll roll it back. Well, I was in Montana with family, and this is more so my wife's family. And it was early in the morning. Everyone already had their coffee. I was upstairs. And
coffee,
when I came
so
downstairs,
Montana. I love it.
Yeah,
I love
was it. So Montana. And definitely the conversation already had been going. And so I didn't ask what they were talking about. I just sort of like sat down and sort of listened to what they were saying. But again, it wasn't a very long conversation. It was just a quick moment where they said this book, this story, and everyone kind of had this beautiful sigh of like, I know. And to me, those are just such beautiful moments that we can't really describe as human beings, but only feel. And you have to kind of be there in order to experience that. And to me, that's like a lot of the basis of what I find not only fascinating with, you know, archetypal imagery or archetypal stories, or even just like things that can't really be
described.
Yeah,
was there a bloodline connection in that sigh? Was it mothers, daughters?
Yes.
What was it?
Yes. Yes. Mother, daughter, cousins.
Oh, that's a good sigh. The feminine bloodline sigh is so, so good. You know, I love that because the only masculine sound I heard was the grunt of oh when I would do something. It was the masculine side. I was like, oh, there he goes. But I love that feminine side. No, but the feminine side, bloodline, friends, vibration of your friends, the connection, the laughter, the tone, the vibrational frequency, comfort that comes from the ones that, like, you know, your tribe is your vibe. And I think that that's so important. And so that's a beautiful thing to see, man. So five people, especially a story. Yeah. How cool is it that now you've seen a book that they read? So they all had their own individual experience through this, but they all vibrated with the same kind of sigh in this collective frequency. That was like that feminine expression of love, nurturing, and the component of, I mean, I don't know what the story is about, but sounds wicked awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And it wasn't even that important because, like, if I try to go back and say, hey, what book is this? They could even turn around and go, eh, you know, like, you may not like it. I'm like, what? But they got at least the gist of what it
is. I know. I'm digging it. I'm digging it.
And I feel like That's kind of how I feel about how we describe some of these, not only topics, but how we should probably describe our common understanding of, say, such the tarot.
Yeah, and that's so, it, man. You know, sometimes I like, you know, you're like in a tire change place with somebody who just had an epic day because they had a flat tire, and they see it as this like, oh my gosh, this has been the worst day ever, and you're like, really? I'm seeing it as this like mythological story of against you and the underworld. It's like a fight against time. Like, are you going to persevere? Are you going to survive? You know, it's like a journey, you know, it's it. And I think that that's a valuable thing to recognize in all moments. And I think that's the process of being, is to like see the story as it's being written,
right,
and see yourself as the story, you know, observing the story, but also influencing the story through your character of like what you want to bring to the story. And we know what we bring. We bring love, truth, and wisdom, you know, and we bring that idea of what it is all about and what it wants it to be. So, yeah, man, I think it's just such a beautiful thing when we see this network of the occult happening outside of occult experiences, because it is, it's happening in the cosmic classroom at all moments. Like, that's what it is. Like, it's always on. Like, everything's on the test. Every moment is on the test. Like, in every moment you can find it, because it's looking for you. It's like, look for it in the moment, any moment. Doesn't matter what you're doing. It's it. The universe is there. Your oneness is there. And it's just that whole, you know, this whole experience of the tarot. When you get to the tarot, right? So we get these, like, remember we were talking about the flashcards earlier? It's like they showed it to us, like, earlier.
Yeah.
We get to, so what the spiritual awakening is, and when we get connected to something like the tarot, it's like, oh, like, I forgot, but now I remember again. I remember why I'm here. And it's just like, okay. Right. And people are like, oh, and they just like, all they do is they like pay attention to how they forgot. And they talk about how they forgot. They're like, oh my gosh, I forgot though. I forgot what I'm here. And I'm like, yeah, I know you forgot. And like, I know, but I forgot for so long. And you're like, I know, but like, just remember why you're here in the moment, you know, why you're here in this space that we find, because like, that's what this whole thing is about. It's like, okay, big deal, you forgot what was going on, but now you remember what is. What are you doing about it? You know, it's not this bypassing of like, oh, I forgot what it was. Like, no, in these moments we find what it is, and we remember what we are here for and what we're doing, which is the self-unfoldment and the self-development of ourselves. And so it's the whole spiritual enlightenment is just keeping the light of us remembering who we are. And it's just, we keep that light lit of like not forgetting and having this constant amnesia of forgetting and remembering and forgetting and remembering. But the more you can remember, like, I'm it experiencing life, you know, and I'm learning, I'm growing. And it's this whole process. Well, the tarot just helps remind us this, and it taps us in through the true mandala effect of the cards and the structure of them to activate these patterns into our consciousness to help us remember this component and to tap us in. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, man. Well said, dude. Well said. Well, I know next time I connect with you, we'll be ready to talk about the tarot and the chariot. And I'm going to go back and listen to some of those episodes, but I think I like that we took a break, and I thank you for that, to come back to how we not only view these archetypal or this vibrational code that I talked about earlier, and this archetypal imagery that we're going to sort of unravel in the next few episodes. But it's so good to talk to you.
It's the best. It's the best. These conversations forever, man. This life and the next.
I'm glad that I see the sun in the background. I see the sun just like setting.
Oh, so this is the awesome, most man. Amazing really thing in the world. Like, if right by the ocean. Water is just insane. Like, when I got through it, right when I saw it, I'm like, oh, you don't just need to come to water to refresh. Like, you just need to be near water. And so, like, from this line on, it's like going to be rubber ducky natal charts full time. You know, like, I'm definitely going to be in like, fully bathing suited up. But, yeah, rubber ducky natal charts. Awesome. No, I'm just kidding. But water is just so important. But Cancer rising. You know, I'm that little nugget that didn't want to leave the nugget den.
Mm-hmm. The nugget den. Cool, man. Well, I want to thank all the listeners and the supporters on our website. And thank you so much for all those who've been still, you know, warning us about these weird, you know, posts that people are doing with our own podcast. It's so strange. You know, I don't even know what to make of it. I think everybody here has had one taste or another of being scammed, but don't let this person scam you. You know, if you find us on the social media platforms, you know, we have countless and countless posts for the last 4 years. If you see something that's short or weird or strange, you know, just report it. Thank you for all those who have given us a heads up. We apologize for the inconvenience, but we love all of you. And
I think, too, we want to make that statement. From this moment on, Eduardo and I will never send an emoji in a conversation. If you see an emoji, it is not from Eduardo and I. So you can send it in outside of that, but through Know Thyself, you down with that? You cool with that agreement? No more emojis? It's our secret language. It's how we do that. And you know what? We're going to talk about this because this... That component of the chariot in what that experience was, oh, everything's aligned. Everything is in accordance. Like, you know, the lessons are the lesson. And so this is all it is it's just material. For sure. And it's what the universe wants us to look into together. And it's what we will all look into together. And it's just going to be the cat's pajamas. And so let's welcome these experiences because we're stronger. We're connected to love. We have truth and we have wisdom on our side. So we will persevere.
Right.
And so we're going to take this because you know what? So there might be a parasite in this aspect of like energy that's doing that parasitic behavior. I bet you have parasites on you too, spiritually in that realm, just like that organization does. And I'm saying even right. outside of that, and I'm not saying anything against you as individuals, but these are things that are going to happen to us always because, you know, vampires are vampires. And it's, but again, nothing against anything, but just you have to understand that this is a reality that you have to protect your energy. And your energy is the most important thing in the world. It's the most valuable thing in the world. So the only thing that deserves your creative God force energy is you and expressing it in the way that you want. So this is great. I'm so actually excited about this opportunity to explore what this is spiritually teaching us. And there's never like, you know, we are the chess masters because of truth. So like, it's Absolutely. Just getting to the higher perspective and that's what we do. So if the death and rebirth needs to come, let it come. You know what I mean?
Love it, man. Well, until next time.